Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. The current series from the book of Nehemiah is called Uncomfortable. Let's hear what Kurt has to say.
Welcome back, each and every one of you, to the podcast for today. Hope you're having a good day so far. For some of you, you're listening here early in the morning, and you haven't had much of a day so far. So thanks for tuning in. It really does mean a lot to me and to Hannah. Hannah's back with us again today.
Hey.
looking forward to continuing a conversation from last episode when we were talking about the ways by which we can become sidetracked in a project, in a work for God, even when we're almost tasting the victory. We're at the end. I like the illustration, Hannah, that you used about finishing college and how sometimes those last few tests or
really
those
are the hardest.
Right. Or even just motivation. Those last projects. Mm-hmm. And you got those voices in your brain saying, I got the material down. I don't need a piece of paper. And just all of the rationale that goes into that. So here we are in Nehemiah chapter 6, if you're following along. And we looked at verses 1 through 4. We looked at how the enemy sometimes just wants to get us talking. Just ridicule didn't work. Intimidation didn't work. Let's just talk about this. Stop working. Stop moving forward for God. Let's just have a conversation. And Nehemiah wasn't taking the bait. And so what did Nehemiah do? He answered, not once, not twice, not three times, but four separate times, Nehemiah said, no, I am not going to come down from the work of God and have this conversation with people that aren't interested in answers in the first place. And I meant to say this on the podcast last episode, and that is, this is so similar to the kinds of attacks that Jesus faced in his public ministry. So I know, Hannah, did you take my Life of Christ course?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, two, yeah.
So in the Life of Christ, if we studied the end of the Life of Christ, remember all the various groups took a shot at Jesus, whether it was the Pharisees or the Sadducees or a combination of the Pharisees and Sadducees, or the Pharisees and the Herodians in one case. And each one of them was asking, trying to embroil Jesus into conversations to really take him away from his work.
Right, just to stall him or even trap him, asking the wrong questions. And that's often, that's often what we do even with our faith or whatnot. We ask the wrong question. It's not even...
And they didn't even want an answer. As you said before, they were simply trying to trap him. And in essence, that's what Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem and the rest of them are trying to do with Nehemiah. Their end game is not to get an answer or to talk about a building project. Their end game is, we don't want the work of God to go forward because we have a vested interest in Judah remaining weak. So the conversation didn't work, the call for conversation, I should say, in verses 1 through 4. So they adopt a plan B in this effort to sidetrack Nehemiah. And look at it, my friends, in verse 5, if you can. It says, then Sanballat, his servant, unto me in like manner the fifth time. So four times the message has come, come meet with us on the plane of, oh no, on the plane of, oh no. And the fifth time he came with an open letter in his hand. So Hannah, what do we know about the concept of an open letter?
So this would be a letter to the public, it would be like a public announcement almost, just...
Right, it's
writing
not
on his page on Facebook, so everyone can read it.
That's a really good way to say it. It's like putting it on the. So ostensibly, it's a letter to Nehemiah, but essentially, it's just an end run. It's a way to say, I want everyone to know what's going on here. It's an open letter. So what is the enemy doing? He's circumventing Nehemiah because he knows Nehemiah is a strong man of God. So he's going to the people, to Nehemiah's followers, to put it that way, to try to alienate them from him. And that's so often the enemy's attack. You know, maybe the leader is strong. So I'm not going to attack dad. I'm going to go through the children. I'm going to go through maybe not that pastor, but through those people, not that teacher maybe, but through that classroom. And the enemy does a great job trying to separate. He wants to separate loyalties, whether it be in a church, in a family, in any kind of an institution. We find that in Luke chapter, I think it's 22, where Jesus said to Peter, he said, Satan has desired to have you disciples, that he may sift you, separate you. That's always been the enemy's strategy. He wants to separate because there's great strength, there's great unity in numbers. That's why we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because we provoke one another unto love and good works, and we're stronger together than we are separately. So Sanballat is aiming at separating the loyalty of the people from Nehemiah. How does Nehemiah deal with that? Look at verse 6, wherein was written, so talking about that open letter, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, this Gashmu is another name for Geshem, that thou, you, Nehemiah, and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall. That's why you're building this wall. You're trying to rebel against the king of Persia, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. So, hey, Nehemiah, we're on to you. Now, remember, this letter is going to the people, too. We know what you're doing. You're trying to build this wall, to build your own little kingdom, your own little empire, and you're rebelling against the king. And we're on to you, Nehemiah. Verse 7, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there's a king in Judah, and now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, let us take counsel together. Do you see what they're doing? So this open letter basically says Nehemiah is full of himself. He is doing all of this so that he can have his own little kingdom. He's using these Jewish people as dupes in the process. He's got the prophets of God as his press release people, you know, boosting his Facebook advertisement about himself. And Sanballat's like, and this is not going to be good because we're going to tell the king of Persia and he's going to be mad and Nehemiah's going to suffer for this, but so are all of you people. Let's talk about it. Wow.
Bringing them away from their focus.
Yeah, total lies, but they're playing into the fears of these people. Remember, they're living as a vassal state of the king of Persia. So is the whole world. And the one thing that everybody fears, well, that's why they're paying taxes to the king of Persia. What everyone fears is, wow, if you make him mad, he's going to crush us. He'll come in and wipe us out. So Sanballat is really playing to the fears of the people with his open letter. He's trying to make them afraid so that he can alienate them from their leader so that ultimately the project will stop and Sanballat will be in control. Isn't it interesting that the accusation against Nehemiah, as untrue as it is really a revelation of who Sanballat is? Nehemiah, you're trying to control people. Nehemiah, you're trying to be somebody. And yet the whole accusation was ironic because it was revealing what the critic was.
Shifting the blame, kind of.
I think that's so true. I think criticism generally is so self-revelatory. Criticism tells me much more about the critic than it does about the person being criticized. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening here. So how do you deal, Hannah, in your life with an accusation, not to you, but to people that know you and love you, and they're just lies about your motives? They're just lies about what you're doing. How do you defend yourself against that? Because that's what Nehemiah is facing. This is now out. This is on the evening news. This is splashed all over social media. Right. So for some people, if it's in writing, it's got to be true.
Yeah, and it's hard, you know, but actions speak louder than words. It's said often because it's true. And like you said previously, when they were attacking Nehemiah, and he just, you know, he didn't go into a long explanation. He just gave him a short answer. And that's, I believe, what you need to do when you're being criticized is just let your actions speak for themselves. Because if you truly are right in your motives, it will preach for itself.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. And it's not that you say nothing, because I think that Nehemiah does say something, but to your point, it's short, sweet, and to the point. The longer you go into trying to explain it and delve into it, because it's an accusation of motive, it's almost as if, have you ever been accused of something that was totally untrue, but it was embarrassing and you felt your face flushing and you felt like, and it, you look guilty, your hands get clammy just because it's so absurd. That's, I think, what's happening to Nehemiah. Watch how he deals with it. Verse 8, "Then I sent unto them saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest." Hey, categorically, what you've said is a lie. You know, we've seen that even in recent politics with the appointment of judges or the vetting of people. Accusations, anyone can make an accusation. Anyone can throw dirt out there. And that's what's happening here. And what Nehemiah says categorically is, this is not true, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. You're making it up. So Nehemiah succinctly says, it's not true. You're making it up. So he denies it categorically. But then in verse 9, this will be the last verse that I'll read. "For they all made us afraid." So did the letter have an effect?
Yes.
It definitely does. And gossip and talebearing and public censure, even when it's wrong like this, they have an effect. And it's making people afraid. What if this is true? What if the king of Persia does come? What if Nehemiah is this egomaniac? So they made us all afraid, saying, "Their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. That was their end game. But watch this, my friends. This is the last part of the last verse I'll read. Here's what Nehemiah does. "Now therefore," Nehemiah speaking, "now therefore, O God," this is his prayer, "now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Just a short prayer, kind of like that prayer all the way back in chapter 2. "God, give me wisdom." So Nehemiah's in the middle of it. He's facing all of this public backlash from a letter that's a lie, this media outlet that's just totally manipulating. And Nehemiah says, yeah, it did its job. It made everyone afraid. God, strengthen me. Strengthen, but watch this, strengthen my hands. So in other words, the implication is, I'm not going to stop working. This is not going to sidetrack me. We are going to get the job done. I don't know, my friends, if you're facing something right now where you've been lied about, or maybe even the court of public opinion has already indicted you and thrown you out. Take rest in knowing that God knows. Don't be afraid to speak the truth in love, categorically deny what's not true. But please, my friends, don't allow such manipulative effort to distract you, to dissuade you from what God has called you to do. And we'll leave it right there for today. Again, thank you for joining us. Looking forward to talking about the third sidetrack or attempt to sidetrack right here in Nehemiah chapter 6. But you'll have to wait until next episode. God bless you, my friends.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.